Hey, 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 module 3, session number 6, right here for you, called Writing Emails Beyond Your Sequence. Here's what you're going to learn. First of all, what to send to your readers when they're through your sequence, when they've gone through all your automatic emails. Also, how to maintain engagement, even when you don't have new books. You got to send them something. So what are you supposed to send them? I will tell you. And then the best way to leverage your relationships with other authors. So it's easy for readers, if they haven't heard from you for a while, they might forget you. They might forget who you are. They might forget what you're all about. And that means they'll be less likely to open emails or click on links. And if you get out of the habit of connecting with your readers, then it's going to be hard to get back into it. It's way easier to keep stuff up when you have a consistent habit. So I recommend at least monthly check-ins, even if you have nothing to sell, and it's okay if you have nothing to sell. It doesn't have to be long, but something is better than nothing. Here's some ideas. A recommendation of another author's work. This one is huge. Because this is your opportunity for cross-promotion. This is where you promote other authors' work after you've networked with them. And this may lead to cross-promotions. But for now, when you don't have a book to promote, this is what you do. So this is a great way, maybe the number one way, to connect with your readers every month, to send them other stuff to read. You can talk about news that's connected with your upcoming release. So if you have one that's 3 months down the line, you can say, hey, I finished the rough draft. Here's where it's at. Here's what I'm doing. A picture of the draft. You can do all sorts of stuff with that. You can link to a podcast interview you gave, or a video you did, or a blog post you wrote, even if it's old. And this is a great way to repurpose your old content, especially if you're nonfiction, to get people to hear you, to know you, to like you better. And it gives them a reason to remember who you are. You can do a giveaway. Giveaways are fantastic. It's a great way to get some goodwill going with your list. You could tell a funny story, something funny that happened, even if it's unrelated to your books, and it probably should be related in some way. It's helpful when you are just trying to be personal and show who you are. Really anything at all. Send them something so they remember that you exist. Now you can use your imagination here. You could come up with 20 ideas and use one. And maybe you just go with the one that's the best, or you poll some of your readers on a Facebook group and say, hey, what story do you want to hear of mine? And the more your idea, whatever it is, shows off your personality, shows off your writing style, the better it will be and the more it will connect with your readers. Now, participation is also encouraged. You can connect with maybe your street team and ask them what they want. And then you can use their answers from possibly a survey to decide what you're going to send folks in the main group. You can do this for giveaways too. If you say, hey, what would your number one prize be? Get some answers, and then you use that for a giveaway for the rest of your group. Come sail away. Another big thing you can send to readers is sales. Sending multiple sales per year. There's a bonus here in the course in the author grad school from Steve Scott, who talks about how he always does a St. Patrick's Day sale and a few other holidays. So this can be on holidays, birthday, anniversary, etc. This is a good way to beef up the sales of a previous title and possibly get some traction on it again. And it's a good opportunity if you split your list, do some split testing to get some sales on one day, some on another, because Amazon likes it when you spread that out. So you can divide your list into a few different groups there. And really, it's a good opportunity for stragglers who maybe haven't gotten around to buying your book. They can pick it up for that 99 cents. or whatever your sale price is. So when do we send these? Well, when good times to send the emails are weekday mornings. If you're scheduling ahead, Tuesday is supposed to be a good day for these. Don't ask me why. I guess people are into the week, but not thinking about Mondays or their weekend anymore. So Tuesday is a good time for these. I recommend you schedule them ahead of time just so you're not scrambling to get something together, so you have time to edit, all of that good stuff. And when you actually plan out, I'm going to send 3 emails over the course of the next 3 months. If you plan your emails ahead of time and batch them, like you're writing 3 emails at once, 5 emails at once, you're going to be more in that email headspace, and you're not going to have to think like, oh crap, I need to write another email. Oh wait, I wrote 3 emails last week. It's already scheduled for the next couple months. I'm in great shape. That's the ideal. Another thing to consider with your mailing list is hygiene. So sometimes you can save a little money if you're butting up against MailerLite's 1,000 subscribers where you have to start paying for them afterwards. You can start to delete readers who never open. Now, I want you to keep in mind that open tracking is certainly not 100%. So just because a mailing list provider says someone hasn't opened doesn't necessarily mean they haven't opened, because sometimes people have software that blocks that sort of thing. So just keep that in mind, but you can delete folks off your list. Anybody who monopolizes your time, doesn't buy a review, well, you know, you can cut people. And that will increase your open rates because you're getting rid of the dead weight. So remember, you can delete people, but you know, you don't have to go on a deleting frenzy. And I wouldn't recommend deleting everybody and starting from scratch, because you might have some people on your list who love you. And maybe they've bought stuff but haven't actually responded to you. So it's tough to know. Some true fans are quieter than others. Now, when you start building up your list, you're going to have more subscribers. And that means you're going to have more people to reply to. So that's going to be a little more work for you. I recommend you find a system that works for you. For me, when I batch emails together and I'm only responding to them once or twice a day, I feel less like it's interrupting my writing time. I feel less like it's a chore. I know, all right, this is email time, time to write and respond to these emails. And I actually even put them in a Word document, take them off my computer, print them, and use my Neo 2 electronic keyboard to write up those emails. And that way I'm not staring at a screen, which kind of sucks my energy up a little bit. So I recommend that. That's worked for me, and I love the Neo 2s and the AlphaSmart little computers. They're really cheap. They're like $100, and you can find them on eBay because they don't make them anymore. But it's a great way to not be looking at your screen, not be tempted by the internet. Now, think about the far-off future here. We're hoping that you follow all this stuff and you grow your email list, and it actually gets tough. You're getting a lot of responses. So when that time comes, I recommend getting help as soon as you can afford it. I have an assistant who helps me with both my fiction and my nonfiction stuff, and she is very valuable. And when you have people on staff, even if it's just for like 10 hours a week, that can really accelerate your career so that you can go back to focus on the writing and writing more emails and writing the marketing aspects of things. And emails are a good thing to outsource. So you may have a decision to make at some point in your career. Do I get other people to respond to these emails? Do I respond to them myself? And that's a tough thing. It's a problem you probably won't butt up against until you have over 10,000 people on your list. But it is something to consider for the future, which is why I put it in here. I will go into some more future thoughts in module number 6 when we talk about expanding your author career. But even if you do outsource things, just try as best as you can to keep that personal touch. Whenever you can, be personal, be real, even if it's just in the emails you send out. Be personal. Stay real. Connect with your readers. So here's a recap of Module 3, Session Number 6. You want to stay in contact with your readers at least once per month, no matter what you send them, and possibly the best thing to send them would be a cross-promotion with another author so that you are able to connect amongst each other and they might owe you a favor later on. So that's just basic networking. So use those emails to promote other authors. And you should really keep an open mind to what you can do between launches, giveaways, news about the upcoming releases, whatever you want to send. You send it and try to batch those things together. Have a system for dealing with lots of emails, having to send out a lot of emails. Have a system ready where you are getting those emails prepped and ready to go out to your readers. Thank you for watching this module. We're going to go into one of my favorite things in module number 4, talking about headlines, getting those hooks for your books so that people can't help but read what else you've got. So I'm excited about that module. I hope you are too. I hope you've done the homework in modules 1, 2, and 3. If you have not, and you want to get that coaching bonus from me, go on over to those modules, start doing the homework, get them ready, and trust me, when you do the work, you're going to be miles ahead of a lot of the authors out there. So thanks again, and I will see you in the next module.